Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Why is it so many of us are not allowed overtime pay exactly?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is a feature of the modern workplace. When the boss asks the junior manager to come in Saturday without pay to do those TPS reports or whatnot, why no overtime pay? Because many categories of employment are simply exempt from it under federal labor law, but that could change for some workers at the stroke of the president's pen. Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington.
Currently, because of something called the white-collar exemption, many salaried professionals are not paid overtime.
People who are defined as supervisors.
Gary Bertlis is an economist at the Brookings Institution. He says the economic recovery has been better for businesses' profits than it's been for wages.
The government is trying to put its thumb on the scale, helping workers.
And he says this could help millions of them, at least in the short term. But critics argue a change like this would make it harder for businesses to hire new employees, and they may have to trim their payrolls. Bill Kilberg is a partner with the law firm Gibson Dunn.
Well, I don't know that it is a good idea.
He says that if the Labor Department changes the rule, it's likely the courts would weigh in.
They can give it deference or not give it deference.
And even if the courts were to let the rule change stand, business groups say employers could simply reduce a white-collar supervisor's base pay, so there'd be no difference. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
There are measures of the conventional economy, such as tomorrow's report on new claims for unemployment benefits, but there are also measures of the underground economy, including new figures for sex trafficking. The Urban Institute pulled together data on 7 U.S. cities and came up with a figure of $975 million. Kate Davidson reports.
The report also looks at the business tactics of pimps and traffickers. Say law enforcement cracks down in Atlanta. Principal investigator Meredith Dank says pimps might move women and girls on a circuit to Dallas or Miami.
And while there, they will network with other pimps and traffickers in order to get the scoop where they should be going, what hotels they should be working out of, and this partnership will form.
The report says the internet has changed the way pimps do business. Bill Wolf is a detective with the Fairfax County Police in Virginia. He says traffickers now use the web to scout and manipulate most victims. They start slowly.
Hey, you're pretty. Will you add me as a friend?
Then vulnerabilities emerge.
So during the period when that girl might say, hey, I hate my family, nobody supports me, I need a place to escape, that's when the trafficker who's been essentially lying in wait will jump.
Meredith Dank says about 10% of the pimps researchers interviewed even created their own websites. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
The International Air Transport Association seems to have a lot on its collective mind. Today, it cut its forecast for profits in the airline industry this year by $1 billion. Among the worries, the Ukraine crisis leading to higher oil prices, plus unrest in Latin America, including Venezuela, where the government has frozen cash the airlines say is owed to them. Five years into the World Wide Web, there's an expanding universe of devices that share information, devices that include ones that you wear on your person. Marketplace tech host Ben Johnson reports from the South by Southwest Interactive Conference in Austin, Texas right now.
Wearables are having their moment. The Fitbit fitness tracker, the Nike Fuel Band, these wearables use the web to collect and deliver all the information we need to become fitter, happier, and more productive. This collection of data is sometimes called the quantified self. Some people at South by Southwest have already moved beyond wearables, though. They're on to embeddables. What are embeddables?
Nanoscale machinery inside our bodies, which can monitor us and modify us.
That's author and futurist Andy Goodman speaking at the Austin Convention Center at a presentation called Embeddables, the Next Evolution of Wearable Tech. Sounds weird, I know. Adrian Alsentire was in the sold-out audience. He thinks the early embeddable adopters are right around the corner.
I think it's going to happen at some point. I mean, especially when you look at how many people are really into quantified self already. Somebody will adopt it. Some people will try it, and then there's going to be debate about it.
Whether embeddables will help or hurt us may be a debate, but the ideas are already here at South By. A sensor in your tongue might recognize and tweak your coffee to personal taste. Imagine light-emitting diodes or LEDs in your hair displaying a real-time status update. Or maybe an ad. Facebook and Twitter have ads mixed in these days. Why not your hairdo? On South by Southwest's trade show floor, Nicole Ozer is manning a quiet booth as the tech policy director for the American Civil Liberties Union, and she's ready to tell you exactly why not your hairdo.
A lot of companies sort of take the mindset of let's collect as much data as we can, let's retain it for as long as possible, and let's sort of have as much discretion about how we use it and how we share it.
The thing is, that data is how lots of companies make money these days, wherever they're getting it from. So they like to keep it. And if they've got it, says Ozer, they are vulnerable to the government or another third party collecting that information. That's what she's worried about, especially with wearables, which aren't like your personal computer.
You know sort of the information that's being obtained while you're sitting at the desktop.
With wearables and embeddables, it's out of sight, out of mind. And if you think all this sounds too far away to worry about, back to that LED hairdo for a second. Researchers at the University of Washington made a new kind of LED this week. It's small. How small? 3 atoms thick. In Austin, Texas, I'm Ben Johnson for Marketplace.
Today, the World Wide Web turns 25. March 12, 1989, British computer scientist Tim Berners-Lee published a paper at the European physics lab CERN about a framework to help linked computers share data. Now look at us. What did Ben just talk about? Sensors on your tongue? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.